This scripture reading and the following address were part of the YouTube streamed worship service from St. Paul's Lutheran Church, Box Hill, Victoria, Australia, on July 7th, 2024. For more information, visit www.stpaulsboxhill.org.au.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, chapter 6. Jesus left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph, and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offence at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honour, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and give them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Today's sermon has been generously provided by Pastor Brett Kennett, who also generously allowed me to make some adaptations. Grace, peace, and abundant life are ours through the triune God. Amen. Imagine you're a kid growing up in the same town as Jesus' family, growing up with Jesus, going to the same school that Jesus went to. When you go to the synagogue each week, it's the same synagogue that Jesus attends. Down at the market on a Friday morning, you'd run into Jesus and perhaps you'd play with him and his brothers and sisters. Maybe after school, you'd go round to Jesus' place and you'd hang around the carpentry shop and watch his dad at work. And then later, when you're all a bit older, you still knew the family personally. You bought furniture and farm implements from Jesus himself. That's how it was, growing up in the same town as Jesus. Later on, you'd hear that he'd moved away. Well, it happens, doesn't it? Especially in large families. Still, it's a little bit unusual because he is the eldest son, after all. It's going to be his responsibility one day to take over the business. And then you hear something else, something a little bit strange. So strange that you know it can't possibly be true. You hear that when Jesus had left, he'd gone south, gone into some kind of church work, some kind of preaching ministry. Carpenters don't become rabbis. Everyone knows that. For a long while, you didn't hear anything at all. And then suddenly, Jesus is back in town. And he's got disciples, followers, a whole entourage. And what were they saying about him? He's a prophet? Someone with a message from God? Someone with God's wisdom? Someone able to perform miraculous actions on God's behalf? A teacher? A rabbi? This guy? Give us a break. This is just Jesus, the son of Joseph, the carpenter. This is Mary's boy. We know his brothers, we know his sisters. We've known Jesus since he was a kid. We know him better than you do. Mark tells us that they were astounded. They were indignant, and they took offence at him. Their problem was this. They thought they knew him. And it's true, to a certain extent, they did know him. But have you heard the expression, familiarity breeds contempt? Their very familiarity with Jesus was their undoing. They had Jesus in a box. They had preconceived notions about Jesus that prevented them from hearing from his lips the word of God and receiving from his hands the works of God. They were prevented from receiving the life, the hope, the truth that he came to give. I read from verse 5. And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. Challenging people and challenging messages often get boxed and wrapped and put up on a shelf somewhere. Sometimes the box is fancy, even wrapped in shining, attractive paper with a ribbon so that it can be admired. But that admiration is not for the real thing. It's not for the content of the box. It's just for the wrapping. And taking something that challenges us, that disturbs us, that demands something from us out of a safe box is not something that we want to do. They thought they knew Jesus, but all they really knew was the wrapping around the box that they'd put him in. Are we in danger of doing this too? What box have we placed Jesus into? Do we really know him as he is, or do we only know the package? A pastor might hear words like, I grew up in the Lutheran church and I've heard a lot of good Lutheran sermons in my time, and I got confirmed, and that meant 2 whole years of sitting in the pastor's study and studying the catechism. I'm not sure where that little book ever got to, let alone the Bible we were given the day we were confirmed. But oh well, I know Jesus. I mean, I think I remember some of it. Because it's more convenient for us to have a Jesus that we're comfortable with. More comfortable to have a Jesus who was just another great teacher. But this dying and rising again stuff, well, that would imply that he was more than a human being. Someone deserving not just my approval, but my worship. Not just a great leader of women and men, but the living Lord of the universe. Alive, now, with a claim on my life. It's less offensive too. Less offensive than being told that Jesus came as a saviour, speaking the word of God and doing the deeds of God. A saviour implies that I need saving. That there's something wrong with me, some kind of trouble that I'm in or something I can't get myself out of. There's something inside of us human beings that resists growth. Something inside each of us that goes for comfort every time. They had Jesus in a box. We place Jesus in a box too whenever we devalue the word he seeks to bring to us and the works that he seeks to do in us. For instance, baptism might become all about the wrapping, all about the relatives being present and the get-together after church and who should have the honour of being a godparent just so that no one gets offended. And sometimes Holy Communion can be treated lightly, even with disdain. Oh, here we go again, this part of the service. The pastor says, "The Lord be with you," and we go, "And also with you." Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Who are we kidding? We are dealing with holy things, not things we should ever box in. Remember this next Sunday when we receive communion. By the body and blood of our Lord, we are about to take into our bodies the body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. I promise you that one of the most incredible journeys that you can go on is the journey that begins when you go home today and open up God's word and really start to read it. Let God out of the box. Wrestle with him. We have more Bible study resources than ever before. We can jump onto the internet or go to a bookshop like Coorong and discover who our Saviour really is so very easily. But back to today's text. They thought they knew him, but they only had a box. You know, this is a pretty depressing report when you first read it. But there's a beam of light that shines out of today's gospel text. We hear of God's amazing grace, even in this story of rejection. And I read verse 5 again. "And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them." Except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. Some turned up. Many who heard Jesus' teaching on that day in the synagogue were astounded. Many took offence, but not all. Wherever Jesus travelled, wherever Jesus went, some were amazed. But they didn't really understand what they'd seen and soon went looking for the next best show in town. Some were sceptical and placed Jesus in a box of their own making. Some were filled with fear and loathing and made plans to destroy Jesus. Some were filled with faith and kept on trusting. He was able to lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And later, much later, they came to know and understand and finally believe that the good news is this: God does not stay in the box. God cannot be contained by the boxes that we would place him in. And God never gives up on us, never gives up on coming to us to challenge us and to surprise us with his amazing grace, his limitless mercy, his inexhaustible forgiveness. The ultimate box that we human beings place Jesus in was the cold, black, dank, empty tomb that his body was placed in after the crucifixion. And that box could not hold him. Death could not hold him. Sin could not hold him. Even the devil could not hold him, could not box him in. We know from later accounts in the scriptures that many who knew Jesus well, even those who were in his hometown, even members of his own earthly family, went on to believe in him as Lord and Saviour. At our AGM a few weeks ago, Pastor Neville and I introduced a process: called to listen, called to be. In a few weeks' time, we'll be inviting you to study God's word and to hear what God is saying to us as a community. We'll be looking at questions such as, who are we? Who is God calling us to be? How might we live out our faith in the community that's around us here? Alongside this, we can also be asking, what boxes have we been keeping God in? We are a church that's seeking to connect with our community and bring God's love to them, to serve them. We have the gift of this new building and facilities that will be completed in October next year. And it's very exciting to see more happening just behind here. Have a look on your way out. Since we first considered moving from our church at Station Street, there's been quite a bit of thinking outside of the box going on around here, and many of you have been involved in that. That's been the work of God among you and in you, in us. Now God is inviting us to allow him to work through us once more. It's going to take more out of the box thinking. New ways of thinking about ourselves, undoubtedly. But don't be afraid. Don't be scared. This is the journey that God always takes his people on, because his word is too important and his deeds are too powerful to be kept in a box. Amen.